Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Wait a minute. I'm not Mike Crute.
You don't look like him either.
I don't look like him either, but Mike Crute, that's a bald, redheaded, red mustached man. And I am a curly brunette woman named Kristen Bry, who is guest hosting for Mike Crute today, calling in, streaming in, recording in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm very excited to be here. I think this is my first time even being on Devil's Advocates at all. So I'm happy to be here.
For the show, yes, but not the station.
Not the station. That is true. I've been on when Francesca Hong still had her show. I was on there a couple times. Used to be on the Up North podcast with Kirk and Pat. But yeah, first time not only on this show, but hosting this show. So I am very excited. For those who have no idea who I am, my name is Kristen Bry. I am the founder of As Goes Wisconsin, which you can find on all social media platforms. I make fun, innovative videos that try to uncomplicate state and local politics in Wisconsin. And holding my hand through my first time hosting gig on this show is the legendary Brian Kelly.
A legend in my own mind, I guess.
I've heard legends about you.
Well,
I heard you once farted on air.
So yes, I did.
That's a legend.
The folks know me from my flatulence. That's what they know me for.
That's what they know you as. Exactly.
That's why they call me Fancy Brian.
Fancy farting Brian.
Yeah, in the early days, I decided to go ahead and let one go that I didn't think I was going to let go, and it was caught on a live mic, and the guys haven't let me go since. It's good.
Well, and you keep bringing it up, so
I know. Well, again, it was one of those things that I'm proud of. I will never match the Bowling for Soup once gave me a 22-second one, but that's a separate story.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you today. I know that you were just on for the last hour. Anything interesting pop up that you're still fired up over?
Well, I'm really excited about this Ron Johnson situation, mostly because he sounds so scared. He gave up the White House without knowing that he did and had a self-realization moment of it. I hope we get to the sound later on. It'll be great.
Yep.
But yeah, just seeing him, have the dawning of realization and the fact that he tried to go and pretend he was with a cell phone.
I know.
But he didn't have it on.
I can see your phone. So yeah, so everyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, I know yesterday you guys spent pretty much the whole show, right? Talking about our senior senator in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, and his role he played in trying to overturn the election. And so I definitely want to spend parts of the second hour bringing that back up, because God knows it's fun to talk about. But I also want people to start thinking, what is the wildest thing you've ever done to get out of an awkward situation? Because this is what Ron Johnson basically held up his phone like he was on a phone call when approached by journalists. And the journalist told him, I can see your screen. You're not on the phone. Like, you got to talk to me, man. And so I was trying to think, what have I done to evade a situation that I did not want to be in? I think I've probably faked a phone call before, or like fake text messaging, but this was pretty public, and I want to hear if anyone has a better story than that.
I get aggressive with mine. I like because normally I people recognize me because I'm huge. I'm 6'5", I'm 300 some odd pounds.
You're 6'5"? Yeah. I guess we've never met in person.
Yeah, I'm 6'5", and 300 some odd pounds. And even when I lost, like, I didn't eat for 2 weeks, I was down to 315. So it's not like I have a large, but anyway.
You have a large frame.
Yeah, large frame.
You're thick boned.
People recognize me more than I recognize them generally, and it's hard for me to commit a crime because it's not like I'm going to go, it's the other guy. Point is that when people recognize, when I see someone I don't know and I don't necessarily want to talk to them, I have to be a little aggressive about it. Like, oh, hey, buddy, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, I got to go right really quick. See you, bye. And like throw so many information at them that they think that they should know me in case, I don't know. I did that with Giovanni Ribisi because I thought he was a guy. I thought he was just a regular at my bar, and I didn't know who it was. So rather than have to face and possibly give up that I didn't know who it was, I was like, hey, man, good to see you. All right, I'll check you out later. All right, give me a call. See you. And he was like, who the heck was that? I don't know. And I left, and I, like, two blocks later, I realized, oh, that was Giovanni Ribisi.
Famous, really good actor. Was he tiny? Was he a little tiny guy?
I could have eaten him.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah, because one thing we have in common is we both spent time in L.A. Pursuing dreams of acting at one point. And so we've met some tiny little actors in our day, because I am not tiny either. I'm 5'10", so I'm in the tall club. Not 6'5", but also statuesque, we'll say.
Yes. And yeah. As far as Hollywood goes, you're a giant.
I know. For women, absolutely. Even for men. I lost many a role because I was 4 inches taller than whoever they had cast for the male leads.
Well, when they're trying to put Tom Cruise in everything, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. So, all right. So the show today, I have a bunch of stuff without trying to jam pack things in, have flexibility, have calls come in. Definitely want to have some fun. But at the bottom of the hour, around 3:30, we are going to talk about today's special session in Madison at the Capitol. Evers called a special session to try to suggest that the Republican-led legislature should repeal this 1849 ban of abortion. But not surprisingly, that did not happen. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. But more specifically, we're going to have Allison Chavez, who is a communications director at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, call in, tell us a little bit about what they had a protest there today, a Pink Out the Capitol protest. So she's going to tell us a little bit about how that went. And also get into more of the details behind the decision that Planned Parenthood has already made the decision that they've already stopped scheduling any abortions in Wisconsin past this Saturday, June 25th, and get into more details about what, if and when Roe is overturned in the next 2 weeks, what care will still be available through Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin for women to have access to. So we're going to get into that in the second half of this first hour. Second hour, we're going to talk about gas and gimmicks, because both Evers and Biden are trying to make some suggestions about things that can maybe relieve our pain at the gas pump. But not shockingly, everyone's calling them gimmicks and political ploys. So talk a little bit more about that. We have gun control. We have at least a draft.
What?
I know, bipartisan gun control legislation that is obviously not, does not go as far as a lot of people would like, but it is a step, in my opinion, in the right direction. So we'll get into that, and then we'll, we'll round out the show with some Rojo. Get back to just highlight. Oh, you know what? The other thing that came out today was the Marquette poll. So new polling numbers on the statewide elections in Wisconsin and some of the attitudes of Wisconsin voters, and big reveal. It's really close.
Yeah.
It's in Wisconsin, statewide elections, very close.
It's crazy. You know, it's crazy how that works. How Charles Franklin seems to be kind of pretty accurate most of the time, too.
I'm trying to think back, because I only got back to Wisconsin I grew up here, was here from birth until around circa 2003, was gone for 17 years, came back in 2020 and went all in on Wisconsin with my entire life and career. And so I played catch up in that whole 17 years that I was gone, like the Walker years, et cetera. But I'm trying to even remember, since I was back in 2020, what the polls were saying leading into Biden Trump. Like, I know it was always close. We didn't have a Senate election in 2020, so there was less, I think, of the buildup that we're seeing for this year for the midterms. And I don't even there because there wasn't even really a close. I guess the closest congressional race in 2020 was Van Orden and Ron Kind.
Yeah, and I don't understand that at all.
I know.
But hey, Van Orden made himself really made it really clear that he's definitely down for insurrection. So good for them.
Van Orden made it very clear that yes, he is not towing or he's not walking any subtlety of like the line between, well, like hemming and hawing at all. Like he is MAGA forever. Also an actor, to bring it full circle.
Oh, really? Really? He has
an IMDb page.
Was it him and Jay Johnson just hanging out together at the insurrection? My goodness.
But I forgot he played like an army. I think he played like an army military guy in some movie. I remember because back in 2020, I was trying to make jokes about it because I was like,
he can't have more creds than I do. That can't be.
He might. He might. At the break, we'll have to look up what his credits are. But Derek Van Orden, yeah, ex-actor, ex a lot of things. But not surprised. It's an interesting time for Wisconsin. I mean, it's always an interesting time in Wisconsin when you follow politics. But it's the first time in how long that both parties have very competitive statewide races.
Yeah, and with the new map...
Primaries. I should say very competitive statewide primaries leading up to the election.
I love primaries. I think they're great, depending...
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I think partisan primaries are part of the problem.
I think you could do a better way of doing it because you can stray from one party to the other and really mess up other people's parties. But I like the idea of competition. I like the idea of getting the best ideas out there and maybe getting I think you could probably do it better. But I think I like getting the idea. But again, if you want to talk about competitive races, Brian Steil went from a 10-point advantage to a 1-point advantage. So he's going to have to try now.
Shit. All right. Well, when we come back, I also want to talk about the, speaking of congressional races, the lack of candidates the Democrats are running. This is Kristen Bry and Brian Kelly on Devil's Advocates. And if he catches up with me, I'll stand my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, and one Cherokee. First one says she got my child, but it don't look like it. Said I'm running, but I took my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. So relax, let's have some fun out here. This game's fun, okay?
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Oh, make me over.
Fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates. In demonology,
man, I love that song. Harder to sing than you think. I have tried many times to sing on karaoke. Granted, I am not sober when I try it, but it is in a higher key than I think you realize it is.
Yeah, my karaoke experience is mostly me singing as other people. The last time I did it, I was Johnny Cash singing Madonna songs.
Like, were you dressed like you were actually supposed to be Johnny Cash?
No. I just spur of the moment. I can't sing as myself very well, but I'm really good at singing as other people. And sometimes I did a Johnny Cash impersonation singing Madonna, and it was Tropical, the Island Breeze. It was fun. It was good.
Did someone record that?
No. It was at some dive bar in Chicago. I think it might have been. No, I don't remember. No, it might have been Birds. It doesn't matter.
Matter. All right. So I would like. We were just talking about races in Wisconsin and the midterms, and as we know, the midterms are. The primaries are 2 months away. The actual general is 4-5. What is the actual countdown at this point from November? Five, I think. We're gonna go with five.
I'm good at immediate time. I'm not necessarily great with forward time.
Got it. So, which means we, as Wisconsin, we have 8 congressional seats, and in 2 of them, there is no Democrat running.
That's awful.
I know.
You couldn't scrape up somebody just to pretend.
I know. So, Bill Glauber from Journal Sentinel covered this yesterday, which is not breaking news, because if you were paying attention to any of the races, once the filing date for nomination papers was due and there was no Democrat in those races, that was breaking news then. But I read about it yesterday, and it's in Gallagher's seat up in Green Bay, and Glenn Grothman running uncontested. Yikes.
How could you not beat Glenn Grothman?
Isn't it true that he's never lost an election?
I don't think he has, and he's awful.
I've never met him in person, but he seems a little weird. Seems a little.
Here's him, just to give you a taste.
They're scared to death that nobody else will fight the cancel culture as we head towards an era when some things can't be said.
That's him. You can't beat that guy.
Remember last year when he wore a little tiny leprechaun hat 2 weeks ahead of St. Patrick's Day in a serious interview about critical race theory and talking about racism, and just unironically wore the hat throughout the entire interview?
It has no idea. Not even a clue.
So no one's running against him.
He does not have a message.
So, you know, and I get it too. This is what happens in a gerrymandered state, because then once you get drilled down into the state legislature, there are 5 state Senate seats with no Democrats running. There are 16 assembly seats with no Democrats running, and there's 10 Republican assembly seats with no Democrats running. And this is what happens when you have super gerrymandered maps, and it becomes it kills competition. Right. And it kills the how much it discourages anyone from even running, because who wants to put the time, energy, and money into running? And actually, at this point, also the harassment, right? Like, if you live in some of these districts, and especially for women, especially for candidates who are people of color, the just abuse you get online in your attempt to get some name recognition, that it's a tall order to ask anyone to actually do that. And I maintain that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin still needs someone to run in these seats, especially for Congress.
Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't. I mean, because again, Ben Wickler just brought in a ridiculous amount of money.
The 3X.
You have plenty of money. You just find literally anybody and feed them Democratic talking points. Do nothing but be a placeholder for the next person who cares enough to run for real. Just throw anybody in there. Just be competitive. You're never going to be able to go and win anything unless you ask somebody for their vote.
Well, it's not only that, but it's also just building a bench, right? So, and that I will say in what we saw with the spring elections, for the nonpartisan spring elections in Wisconsin, how much did we hear about school board elections, right? And how many candidates that were in what is a nonpartisan race, how many candidates Republican, Wisconsin GOP was backing? And whether that was because, you know, culture war issues and all the school stuff, but in reality, it's a great way to build your bench, right? And like, it's getting people into public office at the local level and see who is a star, right? And who can rise through the ranks. And I just feel like the admitting defeat in so many districts, whether it's at the congressional level, but even everything down ballot, like, how are we going to find the next good people to run for bigger office? And how do they get experience if we're not actively trying to recruit them, right?
Yeah, if we don't do that, if you don't go out and try, you're never going to win. You can't win unless you play the game. You can't win unless you have a ticket.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky or Michael Scott?
Oh, that's Michael Scott for sure.
It's technically both.
Everything is Michael Scott. That's what I default to.
Wayne Gretzky.
Every inspirational quote you live your life by, Michael Scott. And so yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm disappointed because the fact that the Republicans have been able to, they're still running people in Milwaukee and Madison. Like there's going to be someone who runs up against Gwen Moore and Mark Buchan in Madison. And so, you know, I'm not a political strategist. I'm not out there recruiting people, but I think it is a huge opportunity missed to the point that we just need more people and we need more good people. And it helps turn out and also helps in these regions, having people actually feel heard and represented, even though they know their party won't win. All right. I'm Kristen Bry with Brian Kelly, and this is The Devil's Advocates.
What would you say?
I have to go, but I'm supposed to.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Bry in for Mike Crute on Devil's Advocates with Brian Kelly. And we were talking about Democrats not running in two congressional seats. And I think for the next couple of minutes, we're going to take some phone calls. We have on line one, Tom from Madison.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Nice show. Really well done. I was unaware of As Goes Wisconsin, and so I just looked you up, and it looks really awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliment. I work hard on trying to bring some humor to our state of politics.
Well, I'd like to invite you guys to the second showing of Joe Hill, Alive as You and Me. We're going to be doing it at the Labor Temple tomorrow on Park Street. And there's a wonderful little theater company in Madison called Fairmont's Last Theater Company, and David Simmons. And they basically really focus on political and social justice plays. And David asked me to do this play. We've been putting it together for the past few months. And we did one performance at the Dark Horse Art Bar. And there was a fellow there from the union who asked us to come and do it at the Labor Temple. So this will be the second show we're doing. And it talks about Joe Hill. And as I've said a few times, if the right is worried about CRT, man, wait until they hear about labor history.
You performed a song here in the studio for us. It was awesome.
Yeah, oh, thanks. Yeah, that was I think The Preacher and the Slave. That was Joe's take on those preachers that promised workers a better life, but only in the next one.
Awesome. Where can people find information about the show?
You could go to Fairmont's Last Theater Company, or just go to Facebook and just Google Joe Hill, or search Joe Hill, Alive as You and Me. Or you can just go to tomcastle.com, TOMKASTLE.com.
All right. Awesome. Thanks for the call, Tom. And then we also have, again, from Madison, we have Jeff.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Great. I just wanted to ask you two a question. If Charles Franklin did a poll of the percentage of people in Wisconsin that don't realize we don't have democracy here anymore, what do you think the turnout would be? What do you think the percentages would be?
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the questions that we're going to talk about later is enthusiasm to vote, and is the state going in the right direction? And as of right now, more Republicans in this current poll that came out today said they thought the state was going in the wrong direction. And shockingly, only 56% of Democrats, I think it was around there, thought that the state was going in the wrong direction, where I feel like I know a lot of people who are on the left to center left who feel like the state is, like you said, that we are, who we have been gerrymandered out of our democracy. So I would think that that would be higher, but echo chambers are a real thing. So I actually have no idea. Brian, what do you think?
that's the other thing too, is that one, we know that Charles, at least we complain about him oversampling Republicans a lot. But I think his oversampling is generally is because you got to think about who's answering the polls, who's listening to it. I generally would just hang up and think that they're some sort of, you know, spam or something like
that. I've never taken one of these calls.
Yeah.
And so I don't even have a landline anymore. See? So if you're calling my cell phone and I don't recognize your number, good luck getting a hold of me.
But that being said, these things are actually relatively scientific. Charles Franklin, we keep going back to him because he has a reputation for being relatively accurate, or at least close enough to it, or at least enough of a pulse. Because again, you think about who's getting these calls and things. It's people that vote all the time. The people that answer these are the people who've been voting for 50, 60 years and answer these polls. And again, I would think that a lot of times that's also a hard polling question, because you can't really yes or no the, hey, is our democracy being taken away? You know what I mean? It's more of a nuanced thing than that, because again, are you saying it's going the wrong way because of Evers, or are you saying it's going the wrong way because of the legislature? And that's not necessarily clear in a lot of the polling.
Jeff, what do you think?
I would say the legislature is not, legislative branch is not doing anything. They're just trying to wait until Evers is gone. And I just picture we're voting for Evers as this big Buddha that sits in front of the goal that you can't get anything past him. And I don't think that's the way our state should be run.
Oh, I completely agree with you on that. I mean, I think the DPW actually put out a meme or a GIF or something of Evers as a goalie and was like actually blocking stuff. Like, I think that is it's obviously a joke, but I guess that's kind of the plan, because without having any chance, especially now, of having a say for even work towards compromise and stuff in the legislature, that's the strategy, I guess.
Yeah, kind of. I could picture him with like one of those big fearsome goalie masks, but instead of like a bear or like a shark or something, it just got a big mackerel on it. And on the pads, it just
holy
says, take
mackerel.
Her, on the front, it just says, oh, crap, take her easy.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. We got Ron on line 3.
Hi, guys. You're doing a great job filling in for Mike. Brian, how you doing?
I'm full of magic and wonder as always, my friend.
I think it's a little bit deplorable that the Democratic Party can't scare up people to run in these areas. But I think in part that's got a little something to do with how non-reactive the Democratic Party is to what the Republican, the state Republican Party is doing. And they don't like criticism. I found that out the hard way. I ran for assembly against a Democrat.
Interesting.
As a Bernie independent, right at the beginning of COVID, and while I didn't do very well and didn't even get on the ballot because of COVID, how do you get signatures if you can't go to people's houses in the district? The Democratic Party does not play nice with people who do not go along to get along.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. And I think that's part of the problem of having a duopoly in general, of just having a two-party system where even once you get elected, and when this probably goes for both sides, then you're very idealistic of, I want this job to be able to create change. And then you get elected and then you better fall in line with what the party's doing. And so I don't know. I don't have the firsthand experience like you do, because I haven't run for anything, but I'm not totally surprised.
They make the rules. They kind of can set who they're going to be in their party and who isn't.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for the call. We have to get to our guest. On the phone with us is Allison Chavez, who is the Director of Community Relations at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, who is fresh off of the Pink Out the Capitol protest in Madison. Allison, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kristen. Good to see you. I can see you right now. I'm also joined by Michelle Velasquez, who is our Director of Legal Advocacy and Services for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. So we're both here.
Welcome. I'm so happy to have both of you here. Now, I kind of prefaced this at the beginning of the call or of the show, sorry, that today was probably went exactly how everyone thought it would. But for people who didn't know, on the books in Wisconsin, our default law that was hasn't been enacted since 1973 because of Roe v. Wade is that we have a criminal abortion ban that dates back to 1849. And in the lead up to what will probably be a not very good decision from SCOTUS on Roe v. Wade and probably overturn that, Evers had called a special session today asking the Republican-led legislature to repeal that law and start working on new legislation for a new, 21st century law regarding abortion. And not shockingly, they gabbled in and out. Do we have a timestamp for how long the Senate and the Assembly actually spent?
We do have a timestamp. Apparently it was 10 seconds. Ooh. And, unfortunately, despite the fact that over 61% of Wisconsinites would like to see abortion remain legal. There's not even a hearing. There's not even an opportunity for people to tell their stories, to talk about healthcare. And so, unfortunately, Republicans had a choice today, and they decided that it's okay for Wisconsinites to have to leave the state to access healthcare.
Now, in the work, there's a lot of different hypotheticals, because in reality, we actually don't even have SCOTUS's decision yet. And there's because of the leak, is that a month ago? I feel like I've lost track of time. Is that a month ago, 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Of one of the decisions was pretty scary as far as it just completely overturning it. I think that there's some people who think that there could be something that's not as extreme as that. Is there any more insight or anything that you guys have heard as far as how this is going to end up playing out once the decision, because it's basically this week or next week that this is going to happen. It's until June 30th.
Yeah. Hi, this is Michelle Velasquez.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, thanks for having us. I'll answer that one. I remember the exact date that opinion was leaked. That was May 3rd. I was on vacation and my phone started blowing up. we don't really have any more insight at this point into, what a final opinion is going to look like. So quite frankly, we have been anticipating a full overturn of Roe v. Wade even prior to the leaked opinion as being sort of the main probability, I suppose. And most of the planning, at PPWI has been around the idea that Roe v. Wade would be totally overturned, which would, of course, get rid of that federal constitutional protection and leave Wisconsinites susceptible to the enforcement of that criminal abortion ban that you previously mentioned. The Supreme Court did announce a couple additional days this week to release opinions. That's tomorrow as well as Friday of this week. They'll be releasing opinions, though we have no idea which opinions will be released and whether or not Dobbs will be among those.
Yeah. And so because one of the decisions Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has made is to stop scheduling abortions after June, this Saturday, June 25th. And so that couldn't have been an easy decision to make, I imagine, but was it largely just be able to get ahead of the decision because of what you're expecting, that you guys made that call?
Well, our main concern right now is the health and well-being of our patients and our staff. And so what we've been doing behind the scenes is tons and tons of planning, working with other states, working to train our staff to be patient navigators. But what we don't want to happen is to have a decision come and patients be mid-procedure in the waiting room or checking in. This is going to be an emotional day. It's already, when patients come, regardless of their reason, and every reason that they come to see us for an abortion is valid and it's theirs, but it's still a difficult decision. It's a difficult day. And so we made that decision so that we can try to protect, our patients from having to undergo further trauma, further hardship. And it is going to be tough.
Absolutely. So I want you guys, both of you, to hold on through the break, because I'd love to hear more about because Planned Parenthood has been preparing for this for a while, to hear more beyond what we just talked about, what the plan is to continue to provide care for women in Wisconsin, to help women still seek services, since we are just north of Illinois. And so when we come back, we'll talk more about future plans and even potentially hypotheticals of what this could look like politically. This is Kristen Bry filling in for Mike Prout for Devil's Advocates.
I think people will do what's right. They don't need a government mandate to do that.
The irony is a little rich here these days.
We have seen a small increase in deaths, which is a good thing.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Bry covering for Mike Prout today on The Devil's Advocates. And we are talking to representatives from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin to discuss where we go from here. Because we had a special session today in the Capitol that Evers called in the hopes, even though we probably all knew, as the track record of special sessions in Wisconsin since Evers has been elected, that they were going to gavel in and gavel out, they being the Republican-led legislature. And there was a protest at the Capitol to try to show enthusiasm for coming up with some kind of bill and new legislation that was actually written in the 21st century instead of 1849, as it has to do with access to healthcare, which abortion falls under. And so as we are talking about Planned Parenthood that has already made the decision to stop scheduling abortions as of June 25th, what care is going to be accessible and what do people need to know starting next week of what options that they have?
Well, the most important thing for people to know is that Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin is still open. We're still providing care. We will still be helping patients. Planned Parenthood will still be helping patients navigate the access to that care. So they've been, the staff has been training to become navigators so that they can help patients figure out how far along they are if they need abortion care. All of our other services are still available. So we have health centers all over the state that are still providing family planning. And we just, we want people to be safe. We want people to have a plan. So people need to know that they can call Planned Parenthood at any time, make an appointment, create their reproductive health care plan, and make sure that they are being as safe and healthy as possible.
Absolutely. And so as we kind of navigate this, because obviously my big take, obviously beyond the health and the personal stories that I know that are going to come out of this, is this now makes everything, this issue is going to infiltrate every single election. It's gone from one court that was in control of it to now district attorneys, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin judge, justice race next year, every single state assembly race, like everyone coming into the midterms this year is going to be running on this issue and they have to make a stance on where they stand. And so, because I think there's been some confusion as far as while we don't have a trigger law in Wisconsin, this just defaults back to what the law is on the books. And as long as we have a split government between the Republican legislature and a Democratic governor, it's just a stalemate, right?
So Sorry, I was just getting wrapped up in what you were saying. I was thinking about being at the Capitol today, and just I was getting lost in thinking about how this isn't just a women's issue. Sorry, I got.
No. I would love to hear more about how the protests.
You know, this is an issue. You're right. This is infiltrating every election, every race, everything that's happening all over the country. And it's not just a women's issue. Abortion care affects everyone, and healthcare affects everyone. And this is something that we need to let people know that, you know, we all know somebody who's had an abortion. And if you don't, it's maybe that's because they don't feel comfortable telling you. But this is an issue that intersects with lots of other issues. And as one of our speakers today, Sarah Noble, who's a reproductive justice leader, in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, was saying, it's no, you know, it's not a coincidence that voting rights, healthcare, all of these issues are happening at the same time. Our rights are being taken away from us at the same time. These are intersectional issues, and it is so important for us to really know what's going on and to make sure that we let our representatives know, hey, you need to be representing me and what I think and what I need in my life. And they're not. They're not representing us.
Well, I mean, I think this to the list of things that are wildly, the majority is in favor of. I mean, the strong majority, right? 61% of Wisconsinites want access to abortion, whether they want it for themselves or they just believe in a person's right to choose. But this, add this to the list, right? Add this to the list of expanding Badger Care and stricter gun laws and legalizing marijuana, right? And so there's so many things that we're just not being heard, at least in our state, and we're not being represented for what most people actually want.
Right, exactly.
I think that's right. And I think it's really important that people understand that the Supreme Court's decision, very likely overturning Roe, doesn't mean that abortion becomes illegal nationally or there's a national ban. What it does is it turns this issue over to every single state. So we now have 50 states with all different laws and different levels of access. And so your ability to access abortion health care will now largely depend on where you live in this country. And so our state, you know, state lawmakers, state judges, as you mentioned, governors, AGs, district attorneys have even more power than they already did over our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. So we only have a couple minutes left. Thank you so much for calling in. But what would you like people to know going forward? What can they do? What information should they seek and spread as we prepare for this ruling to come down?
I think they should call their legislators and ask why they didn't even hold a hearing. I think they should tell them how they feel and that they support this issue. I think we need an overwhelming, resounding, you know, voice of the people to let our representatives know that they're not representing us. People should educate themselves about the issues. They should educate themselves about reproductive justice. They should uplift Black and Brown organizations that are doing the work in their communities, that understand their communities and support those organizations. They should donate if they can to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin Justice Fund or to other abortion funds in the state. They should make sure that they know what their personal plan is and make sure their friends and family and anyone they know who can potentially get pregnant has a plan of what they're going to do should they need access to an abortion. And really just destigmatize the word abortion. Abortion is healthcare, and Wisconsinites should not have to leave the state to access healthcare when Roe is overturned. And these are things that you can do. Be an advocate for the issue. Let people know what's going on, because so many people don't know what's happening. And that's understandable. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and not everybody's up to date on what the Supreme Court is doing. But, you know, let people know, educate your friends, your family, your coworkers, whoever, your neighbors. Just shout it from the rooftops.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for all the work that you both do and what Planned Parenthood does. Thank you for joining us, Allison Chavez and Michelle Velasquez from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin. And keep fighting the good fight.
Thanks, Kristen.
American women deserve better, and American women are here to fight back.
I don't like to get into taking sides.